I've always liked Nicodemus. He may be a Pharisee, but he's my kind of Pharisee. So often when we encounter Pharisees in the Gospels, they seem like one-dimensional caricatures, mean-spirited hypocrites who are intent on tricking and tripping up Jesus. Nicodemus doesn't feel like that to me. He seems like a real person, capable of a full range of thoughts and emotions. Of all of the people who come to Jesus with their questions, Nicodemus and his questions seem so genuine. I think Nicodemus is a lot like a lot of us, myself included. We are willing to come to Jesus with all of our hopes and hungers and questions, but if we're honest, we also do it sort of cautiously. Like Nicodemus, we too come by night, so to speak, always aware of the nearest exit, you know, just in case Jesus and his sayings start to get a little too weird or hard. We're willing to allow Jesus to offer us a few insights, some nice teachings, a few solid suggestions for how we could tweak our mostly comfortable lives. But please, Jesus, make it simple and easy. I don't really have time or energy for a whole lot of extra commitments right now. Yes, like I've said, I really like Nicodemus, which is why it is that I can't help but wonder what he thought about what Jesus offered him that night instead. John doesn't tell us what Nicodemus spoke or thought as he walked away from his nighttime encounter, but we can guess, can't we? Because I don't think what Jesus had to offer was what Nicodemus was expecting, and it certainly was not simple or easy. Jesus did not offer Nicodemus a few suggestions for his prayer life. Jesus did not offer Nicodemus some verse of scripture that he should go home and pray on. Jesus did not remind Nicodemus to keep this or that specific commandment, because Jesus is not a doctor writing prescriptions. He's a Messiah saving souls. And so what he offers Nicodemus and all of us is a whole lot bigger than a few modest adjustments. Very truly, Jesus says, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. What you need, Nicodemus, what everyone needs, is a fresh start, a new beginning, total transformation. Most of us are familiar with the words that Jesus says at the very end of this story. You know, the ones that get put on billboards and waved at football games. They even put them underneath the eyes of football and baseball players these days. So this is about as well-known a passage of Scripture as it gets. But all that familiarity in our society with these words has not led to much understanding of their meaning. Because in my experience, most Christians make this story remarkably small. They take a story in which Jesus invites us to something as dramatic and life-changing as rebirth, and they package it as though all Jesus really cares about is a single decision. All you have to do, so it goes, is to recite a formula in which you declare your belief in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and then poof, it happens. You get your ticket to heaven punched. As though all Jesus is talking about with Nicodemus is what will happen to him when he dies. The writer Dallas Willard compares this way of seeing the Christian faith as a sort of grocery store barcode. Go with me on this. Grocery store barcodes, you know, like the ones the little laser in the checkout line at the grocery store that scanned the item and the price. Willard writes, "It makes no difference what is in the bottle or the package that bears it, or whether the sticker is on the right product or not. The calculator responds through its electronic eye to the barcode and totally disregards everything else. If the ice cream sticker is on the dog food, then the dog food is ice cream, so far as the scanner knows or cares." Willard says that many Christians are stuck thinking that the Christian faith and life is a lot like that barcode. When we profess belief in Christ Jesus and say the magic words, God simply changes out our barcode so that when we die and arrive at the pearly gates, the heavenly scanner, such as it is, will register us as the right brand of person to be let in. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that our barcode stickers would be changed and we can pass through the scanner into eternal life. But when you really begin to examine closely the stories of Jesus, including this one, you see that he was far less concerned with what happens when we die than he was with the shape and meaning and depth of our life now. As Rob Bell puts it, what we find Jesus teaching over and over again is that he's interested in our hearts being transformed so that we can actually handle heaven when we finally experience it. That is to say, God did not so love the world that he sent his only begotten Son to the end that a whole lot of us would have our barcodes changed out. God wants us to feel the Spirit blowing through our souls and filling us with life. God is not only interested in stamping our heavenly passports so that we can go be with God when we die. God wants us to experience the richness and significance of being with God right now. Because the goal of salvation is the transformation of whole lives, not just performing some sort of cosmic transaction to swap out our existential barcodes. To conservative evangelicals, Jesus would say that this is about a whole lot more than whether or not we say the right words to the sinner's prayer. And to progressive mainline Christians, Jesus would say that this is about a whole lot more than making just a few minor adjustments to our lives. It's about saying yes to the grace of God and letting it completely remake us from the inside out. It's about moving from a surface level faith to a soul deep faith. A few weeks ago, we got a glimpse of what this sort of faith looks like in practice when we heard part of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, in which Jesus calls us to a form of faith that is deeper than the surface. And even if you weren't here that weekend to hear that particular passage of Scripture, you may remember it, you may recall it. It's the one where Jesus begins a whole series of sayings with, "You have heard that it was said." And then he mentions some rule or law from the Scripture or tradition, and then calls people to something deeper and greater, a transformation not only of our actions, but of our thoughts and desires. "You have heard that it was said, don't kill. But I say to you, don't even think hateful things about people. You have heard that it was said, don't commit adultery. But I say to you, don't turn people into objects of lustful, selfish self-gratification. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye But I say to you, tit for tat is really no way to live, and besides, all it's ever going to get you is more violence. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, but I say to you, love your enemy, and then see what happens. It really all boils down to a distinction between substance and surface. Most of us are willing to make surface changes, to let Jesus slap a new barcode on us, or else to make a few minor tweaks and modifications to our lives, as though Jesus is really nothing more than a lifestyle blogger with a few tips for self-improvement. But are we willing to let the Spirit of God get down deep? Because belief, the kind of belief that Jesus invites us to, is about more than barcodes or three easy steps to becoming the better you. It's about being remade. It's less like attaching a tiny sticker to our souls than it is like the messy work of being born. Ultimately, my friends, we want more than a barcode faith because we believe in more than a barcode God. God's love is the force that brought all things into existence at the beginning and will bring all things to their fulfillment at the end. And that love is about more than slapping a new sticker on us. It's the sort of love that reaches down into the depths of every corner of the cosmos, including every corner of your soul, to remake us. That's how it worked with my favorite Pharisee, Nicodemus. The love of God worked its way way down deeply inside of him, and it would not let him go. Ultimately, finally, he realized just what Jesus was trying to get him to understand that fateful night. And he opened his eyes to the world as though for the very first time. Which is why Nicodemus, of all people, was there to carry Jesus' body from the cross to the tomb and anoint it for burial. When so many others had fled, Nicodemus was there. And not by night this time, but in broad daylight. Friends, that's what happens when we peel off the barcode sticker and trade it in for something bigger. That's what happens when we realize that Jesus came to give us eternal life, and not only when we die. That's what happens when we let God begin the gracious work of remaking us from the inside out with God's unbreaking, never-ending, always and forever love. And all of God's people said,